Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, Thy compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. Thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. Purity and suffering. Infinity suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. Infinity suffering is not more important than anything. We will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can draw that and end suffering.
So I just had this great day yesterday of loving, doing laundry, and you know, gardening and, you know, things that often I would get in the story about, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. But there was no one there yesterday who didn't want to do those things.
Yeah, and so then everything nourishes
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is the place we're looking from, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Because we might extrapolate from that to, you know, imagine that before that, when the list was the way it used to be, where it didn't nourish you, mm-hmm. you know, like say the same things around the list,
right.
but the point of view, it's like the kind of the overarching paradigm that is happening mm-hmm. inside of is none of this is for me, you know, or another way of saying it is it's just like conditioning has tainted it all,
yeah.
so that everything you do is actually giving to it instead of giving to you.
Right, right, and you know the other process it would do with that was, you know, the list could be kind of helpful in terms of reminding me of my intentions for the day, but it also got used at the end of the day for, well, you didn't
for
do
sure.
that. You know, so
yeah.
it was never a celebration of what I did. It mm-hmm. was always a review of what I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like anything in practice. Mm-hmm. I've just seen this as you're saying, like, you know, like deciding to meditate or, you know, any like the different practices Sherry offers us, for example, that. Or even something like deciding that, you know, exercise is really important, or getting plenty of rest, or eating well, or any of those kinds of things, that these are all things that have the potential to take us beyond conditioning,
yeah.
to support us. There was actually, I was reading an old one, I don't know when it was, but a blog she wrote where she was talking about that, and talking about things like that, and how they are all things that potentially give more time to me and less time to conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But they're interesting because there's kind of a sort of a neutrality in the thing itself, kind of like money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can spend money in a way that brings lots of good and happiness and well-being to humanity, or the opposite. It has no preferences. It can go either way. So anything like a meditation practice or anything like that has potential to really, you know, connect us with ourselves and expand us and deepen our relationship with life. Is going to attempt to get used by conditioning to turn all that into its opposite, and to cause us to give our lives to it instead of, you know, to that expansion as possible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, and another example of that really happened this morning when usually really one of the mostly first things I do is to read the Transform Your Life quote from that book,
mm-hmm.
and that was from Willa Cather today, and it was about happiness, about giving your life to something great.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the exact words,
something like
but
that.
Something
mm-hmm.
like that. And the guidance to look at was what is that something great that mm-hmm. you want to give yourself to?
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, what just came to me, just like that, was life.
To life.
Just to life. Just mm-hmm. to living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to being mm-hmm. there and attending to whatever, mm-hmm. you know. At the moment, I was feeding the cats. You know, mm-hmm. it's like feeding the cats.
Yeah, I love that. It's so inclusive, isn't
yeah.
it? There isn't anything that's excluded from that.
Right.
Everything
yeah.
is life.
Everything is life,
mm-hmm.
and that's the biggest thing I can give myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the awareness of that, mm-hmm. that life is everything,
mm-hmm.
makes it so that everything nourishes us, and life is everything.
Right.
Not being aware that life is something other than the things that life is putting in front of us
yeah.
as to put our attention to. Separates us from life and makes everything everything a source of unhappiness instead mm-hmm. of what it seems like, I don't know, it seems like more naturally is just that everything is a gift to us, even the things that sort of we have to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, for years, for my whole life, conditioning has said, you know, that you need to give yourself to something great.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a
some other thing.
Something great. It was, mm-hmm. you know, you need to do the thing that's going to make your mark in the world, that's
yeah.
going to save the world. And
you got to get your name in the papers.
That's right. You got, and you got to make a difference. You got to, you know, point to, mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing.
That's what I did.
You know, and mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's the same kind of hopeless task that getting all those things on a list
mm-hmm.
is.
It really is.
You know, and it's totally designed to keep me from noticing that in any moment I give myself to something
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that you are something great, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah,
yeah, you become something
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm not separate from what I'm giving myself
mm-hmm.
to.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, you get to the end of your life and you've done this great thing in quotes, and then you look back and conditioning is going to say, who cares?
Yeah.
in a way, it's right. You know, because you look, you think, okay, well, you think back 2,000 years. Well, we could probably name, Julius Caesar, although he didn't do anything great, I don't think. But the people who sort of stand out, did something.
Right.
But it's just like it just gets washed away by time. Yeah. So is there really isn't any point to that.
Yeah.
But just the greatness in feeding the cats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being there in that, and being at one with the life that's living through us, even though down the road they'll just say, Mickey really did that. it doesn't matter because you're just kind of like you're fulfilling your destiny there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, when you just said who cares, it wasn't the conditioning that came in yesterday, but at the end of the day, the conditioning started to come in and say, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you didn't mm-hmm. really get much done today. And this voice was right there and said, who cares?
I did something great today.
And I had a great time.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was kind to me and a lot of mm-hmm. other beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what could be better than that?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. June.
Day before yesterday, I was talking with Sherry, and she was mentioning someone who has a chart that they keep. They have things they want to do, practices, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
And I guess the days of the week or whatever, some way to through the day or at the end of the day indicate that they.
They did.
They did these things.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said was, and it just kind of shows her where she is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, my world just stopped. it had never occurred to me up until that moment that that's what the chart is for. The chart has always been to me. And I got really emotional then. I'm getting really emotional now. Mm. It was about succeeding and failing.
Of course.
And of course, I always fail.
Yeah. So to trying to decide whether you succeeded or failed.
Yeah.
Sort of like a way for conditioning to make it really concrete how it is that you failed, so you can really see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And so now the failure monitor is trying to tell me what a failure I am for 3 years later, noticing that. But I'm just really grateful to.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes a big check mark under success on that, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That you woke up to that.
It's one of the kindest feeling things mm-hmm. that I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's just about noticing where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That there's. It's possible. To take the judgment out of it.
Mm-hmm. That it's possible to take the judgment out of it. Yeah, that you're just noticing where you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, as you very well know, there's a tremendous amount of power in that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's easy to, it's a hard thing to talk about, and it's kind of a dicey thing to talk about because it can so easily be taken by that success monitor. I think that's what you called it. Or failure monitor.
Failure
monitor. Yeah, it's not even success failure. It's just a failure monitor. And it's the reverse of everything that we ever taught. But that, just noticing, is the practice of pure attention, like we say in the daily recollection. That's the most powerful thing in the world. Just noticing. Because somehow, in a way we can't really, it's hard to talk about. Because it's without an act of the will, but just noticing, it's like it opens up these possibilities. We find ourselves naturally heading where we want to go.
Yeah, and I notice sadness for the June who has mm-hmm. for so long mm-hmm. just been called away there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rough.
Mm-hmm. And but that's also good.
Mm-hmm. She can be saved from that.
Yeah. Yeah. She is saved.
She is saved from that. Yeah.
Become that which can save.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just thinking too. That's what's happened to you, hasn't it? With that insight. Yeah. You've moved out of that failure paradigm into something, a completely different thing, who can see the June who's been involved in that for so long and can save her.
So I just wanted to share that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Amy?
So I have a new assignment.
You got a new, Jared gave you a new assignment the other night for those who weren't here.
To report on what I'm engaging with instead of the voices.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that was her exact words.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
So I'll report on one thing I've been doing, which is when a judgmental voice comes up, or sometimes I will actually, if I'm by myself, it'll just come out my mouth. I've been adding the phrase, says the voice in my head that hates me.
Ooh, that's good. Watch out, conditioning.
And that only hates me. That's all it does.
Is that a part of what you say too?
Yeah.
That's the voice inside my head that hates me and only hates me.
Mm-hmm. And then I've been saying reassurances and stuff.
Wow.
So that's my report.
And how has that affected your, like, your energy or your relationship with that, those voices?
Well, it feels like in order to say that, I have to step mm-hmm. back from it. Mm-hmm. I have to step out of believing it to
right.
to identify where it's coming from and what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's really the same movement Jim was just talking about, isn't it? Stepping out of the worldview that conditioning creates, outside of that, to a place where you can affect it. And you can, you might say, really decide for yourself what kind of world you want to live in, instead of just being trapped in something that's been programmed for you. Mm-hmm. Like whatever is at the other end of that judgment, that you're no good or you don't measure up or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, you can really see the difference between those two assignments. It's a big difference, isn't it? Because that assignment asks you to go to that other place. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be helpful. Thanks. Penny?
Well, along the same lines, I guess, as people are talking about, I've had a couple of neat things happen recently. one is that I've been experiencing an awful lot of resistance about various things. And then resistance to resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I thought, I'm experiencing a lot of resistance, and it was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, the relaxation, you mm-hmm. know, that. So I'm experiencing resistance. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's not even I'm experiencing resistance, mm-hmm. I would imagine. Existence is here.
Yeah, it's here.
It's not I'm not. It just happens to be within
right.
this thing.
This is the thing to look at now.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's come up, I don't know, you know, it's one of the things that sort of after the fact I've noticed has been happening, is if I find myself kind of getting into a cranky stage, or, you know, I get up and I'm told I didn't get enough sleep, or I don't feel good, or something like that. But what's starting to come in was, well, it's your choice. And I thought, well, the usual suspicions.
Hmm.
So I consciously just changed it to, it's a choice.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. And boy, has that made a difference.
So
like I can feel myself sort of sliding into mm-hmm. a kind of negative place or a mm-hmm. negative or a cranky place. Mm-hmm.
So I think what you're saying, or I'm guessing what you're saying, that it's your choice. There's it's more like a contest, or conditioning is putting it, making it something you have to do that you could do right or do wrong or something like that?
Well, it didn't feel like that, actually. It just felt like a clear statement. But because it was you, I decided to change the language,
mm-hmm.
just to be sure it wasn't that.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like it made a big difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it
just, yeah, that's what I was kind of trying to. Yeah. So okay, so what is that? I'm looking in to see. Well, what is that then? So what is it about the you? Because obviously that's a very different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
If for one thing, it doesn't require you to be anything.
Right.
You know, to say, well, it's your choice. Okay. Well, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, who am I going to become to relate to that? Which, of course, I mean that in itself is going to, you know, send us down a really questionable path.
Right. Right.
Okay. Because and then I have to become someone and make a choice about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point. I hadn't seen that. Yeah. So I find myself when I can feel myself sliding into something irritable or something like that. That's what comes up now. It's a choice, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes that's the choice I make,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But what's so clear is that it's a choice.
I wonder if you could say a few words about, like, how do you make that choice?
Well, you know, actually, most of the time, just saying it's a choice dissipates it.
Dissipates
what I'm sliding toward.
I see.
I tend not to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I still end up cranky. Rarely, but I think what happens is I decide to go with conditioning. Mm-hmm. And I just decide. And again, but even that, just saying it's a choice, even that, it's sort of like resistance. It's sort of like, okay, I'm saying, you know, there's a kind of not quite being that,
mm-hmm.
because I'm aware that it was a choice, and that's where I went. And
it's like what Sherry talked about, conscious overeating.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm doing this consciously. It's not, you know, this is not a suffering thing. I'm not identified. I'm just, you know, really like pizza or whatever.
And so, as people have been saying, it really makes a difference to just sort of make those kinds of choices. It feels like along the same lines I can't remember what it was, transforming life or the 3-day retreat or what it was, but one of the things said, you know, do something kind for yourself. I think it was the 3-day retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first of all, you know, I'm doing the 3-day retreat. I've never completed the 3-day retreat. So I'm on day 15, and I've been doing it for 30 days. So...
Okay. I'm right with you.
So I'm writing out my daily review, and I was like, you know, what conditioning wanted me to say is, oh, my God. And what I was saying was, I'm on day 15.
I'm on day 15.
I have never made it to day 15. And I've been doing it every other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Goodness, I won't give you credit for that.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really the same relationship with conditioning
exactly.
that you were just talking about a minute ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, not believing it. And looking at it for yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, and it always wants to point out, you know, that, well, you know, days you don't do it. And then I also made a list of things I do every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's easy to get those to be obscured.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just the last piece of along the same theme. So anyway, the assignment was on day 15, on day 30, was to do something really kind for myself, or 15, mm-hmm. whatever it was. And so all day long, that was sort of in my mind to do something kind for myself, and what I was aware of was everything I did that day felt kind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't have to that day anyway come up with a kind thing because everything felt that way.
Would you say you were doing kindness, and so everything kind of got involved in that?
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Everything just felt like it was satisfying. Mm-hmm. It was nourishing. It was for me. It was nothing was outside.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness that day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's sort of like what people are talking about. It's, mm-hmm. it's just so much a kind of. Kind of where we're positioned or who's there, or,
mm-hmm.
but there was no need to kind of find the kind thing.
Yeah, you know, something I keep seeing in everything you're saying. I don't know if I can articulate this exactly, but it's like in where you want to go. It's almost like there's no choice there, just because I'm sort of guessing from what you're saying that. Take everything out of it that's conditioning, and you just will go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you would have to decide to go there. You would just go towards, you know, kindness, or, you know, take care of yourself in these various ways, or, you know, whatever happens other than that slide.
Mm-hmm.
So really, just the choice is basically just the freedom from that relationship with that voice that calls you you.
Yeah.
That is attempting to box you into something to be, so that it can kind of start to slide you off into. Something that's—it's almost like it's not natural.
Yes.
You know, it's not even you. It's not inherent. It's just this whole other thing.
Yeah. You know, Sherry often talks about, you know, if you want to be happy, be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And to to look to find reminders or just those things that generate that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're saying that, it occurred to me that there's two things recently that I just have to go to them when I'm there.
Huh.
And one is this picture I've talked about that I now have on my desk of myself when I was 2 years old, brushing my hair and being so pleased with myself.
Yeah. Every time, it sounds like.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. All I have to do is see that picture in my mind, you know, mm-hmm. and it just makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it does, it makes me happy. It brings me back to what that one was experiencing,
right.
which was just delight.
Delight. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that lately I've been using is this weekend we planted a rose for this our cat that died.
Mm-hmm.
With a little porcelain cat beside it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I have to do is think of the sweetness of that rose mm-hmm. or that cat. And just
it's right there.
It just is amazing. It doesn't take much. It just
mm-hmm.
But to have those reminders handy just is so helpful.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, I was looking at, there's this interesting thing happening in practice where it feels like more and more that's the kind of thing we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, Sherry models it. Absolutely. It seems like just filling up the day with that. Just every space in the day with something like that,
mm-hmm.
It's just incredibly powerful. It really works. It's like it takes away the place that voice or in relationship normally lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, the practices that are available, all the different things, there's endless. I mean, you can fill your entire day with those. I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
It's just kind of going from one to the other and just filling the day with these things that it's not like some kind of a fake, like we're creating some kind of fake experience. That's kind of what I meant a minute ago. I was saying it's not really a choice. It's more just like blot dots or something. It's just kind of keeping us in this track that is where we actually want to go and naturally go, rather than getting pulled off to the side by these other things.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you,
Alex.
This is so neat. It's like the attention needs to go somewhere, mm-hmm. or it goes somewhere, and so those are. It has to, I mean, of all the places that it can go, I'm availing myself of things that I want my attention to go to.
Mm-hmm.
We
might say that's the choice, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. Mm-hmm. To have that kind of thing around to make myself available to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the best part about the examples that folks have used this morning so far, of like practice tools or things that have just arisen as ideas mm-hmm. to bring the attention back to what it is
mm-hmm.
that I want it to be on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best part about it all, is that I know what it is that will bring me back
mm-hmm.
to my heart, to what it is that I care about. And that can be the focus of my attention.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that I want to fill my life up with,
mm-hmm.
I could do that.
Yeah, you really could. You know what you want. And it sounds like you're willing for it. You're willing to have it, to set up your life so that your attention has, every moment of the day, your attention has something to land on that takes care of you and brings you energy and fulfills you and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm relating so much to the, it is not what it is that I'm doing, it's how I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That my latest practice is, where is the joy?
Hmm.
That's the big question. It's like, if it's not here, who am I? What am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing instead?
Exactly.
And where's your attention?
Yeah, because it's true. And I've forever thought that it was like, if I get to do this, I'm happy. I mm-hmm. even watched myself write that down. I have to do the peas and the carrots before I get the chocolate pudding.
Then you can be happy.
Then I can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched how it even got phrased. It's like, well, not too much of the pudding. You know, and I was like, now who's saying these things? And who's making the peas into something that is really unpleasant?
I know.
Because when I actually have them, that's not my experience of,
right.
of the whole thing. So mm-hmm. The whole thing is very dicey, the line that's drawn between, well, it's like what was started. It's like my life versus my time versus their time.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do, what I don't want to do. And it's like, when I start noticing the game that I'm playing with myself is like, where's the joy? That line starts to get erased.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was really inspired with, was that as I start looking closely, it's like I'm enjoying more and more things that I'm in danger of enjoying even more
mm-hmm.
that I didn't know was possible.
Yeah, it's interesting. So there's the content of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we focus on that. That won't that won't give us anything.
Right.
We realize it's a, like you said, it's the how we're doing everything mm-hmm. rather than the what. And yet there's these things we can do.
Right.
It's just so interesting right there, because those things, like the like where's the joy, that's not a what.
Right.
Even though you do that,
yes,
it's a how. And that seems like what's in common with all these practice things.
Yes.
They're all like that. They're just little like what would be, I don't know what you call those things, but like a little jolt of energy as you're going along towards in the process, not as something to do in order to feel good.
Yeah, right. I'm not changing anything. I'm just looking to see where I am. It was
right.
like what it,
oh, yeah.
it was
mm-hmm.
that example of
mm-hmm.
this is why I'm doing it. I'm mm-hmm. not doing the 30-day retreat to, or I'm not doing this working meditation at home working meditation thing to get the thing done. We're not doing any of that for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what it does, what it does is, it reminds you, you know, where you are mm-hmm. is who you are.
Uh-huh.
It just reminds you of who you are. And who you are is joy.
Yes.
And so it's not like it's trying to create something different, like an affirmation would be.
Yes.
It's not trying to create you into something you're not that feels
yes.
good. It's like people will do, you know, with a lot of the content. You know, you're supposed to, you know, watch a movie or, you know, do the whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then that's supposed to best produce this thing that is, it's different from who you are. It's
uh-huh.
But it's a state.
Yes.
That conditioning likes.
Yes.
You might say.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not like that. This is, it's something that tells you where you are by showing you who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's I used the word this morning, actually, biofeedback. It's like I get to find out who's here, what's going on, what am I believing, what's
mm-hmm.
coming up, what's operating this machine, what's
mm-hmm.
what, everything.
Yeah, and where you end up, I imagine, is, well, I'm not any of that stuff.
Yeah, you get that whole process gives me the ability to not be any of that. I'm actually getting an opportunity to look
mm-hmm.
rather than just going along and being
mm-hmm.
conscious, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was as you were talking, I was looking at my experience this morning. So, you know, Sunday morning, there's a blip of time there to do something.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so I woke up this morning, and usually, you know, the first thing, okay, well, what am I going to do? And what I said to myself, I had this little conversation every morning about that. Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And they're all things that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can be tempting to use it for something else, like some way to dissipate energy or some way to not participate.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I found myself, I really had all these things that I really wanted to do. And they're all kind of practice things, but things that really took care of me. And some of it, you know, like cleaning my room, just was one of them. And I can, and at the end of it, you know, I end up sitting there. I'm just in love with the hermitage,
uh-huh.
you know, because it's been taken care of. It's like,
yeah.
you know, like that.
Yeah.
And I had just such a joyful experience, and I'm just relating it to what you and everybody are saying, that it wasn't about the stuff that I did,
no.
mm-hmm. but it was just about that intention. I'm going to do what I know takes care of me and brings me to that place because that's who I am.
Yeah. Well, I project that gets us in touch with that's who I am, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not separate from the hermitage and the care that I put into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the recipient of it.
Mm-hmm.
God knows what the hermitage, you know, could be thrilled that it was just covered with cobwebs and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, oh, finally.
Yeah. Actually,
I'm in my natural state.
Yeah. It appears to be kind of indifferent, actually. And it appears to be kind of indifferent.
Yeah,
it just heads towards disorder.
Exactly.
All on its own.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm the recipient of everything. That's why it feels like it's... I think that's why the practice is so attuned to caring for every little thing. You know, it's not my nail, it's God's nail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the care that I shed it is just a reflection of what's actually going on inside for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is who we are and how we are
mm-hmm.
with things, isn't it? With everything, including ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Michael.
Something happened this morning in the sit, which I think is actually, I didn't see it until the discussion started, but I think it is the thing of just noticing what's going on and that kind of being a portal into, thing that brings about change happening.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Just noticing the power of that.
Yeah. So, and it's really big. It seems really big to me. So I'll stop introducing it. And so what happened is I was counting my breath. I allowed myself to count my breath this morning. And so as the sit came to a close, I kind of know how long, I know when it's the bell's going to be rung, kind of, mm-hmm. because I know.
I've done that twice. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what happened is, and it was happening in and out of the sit, by the moment of the bell ringing, my breathing was so shallow, I could barely breathe.
Mm.
And since I was counting these breaths, this is what I'm putting together, I wasn't having the conversation. So I wasn't receiving the information about why my breathing was so shallow. And so it was just this, oh, this is really fascinating. My breathing is really shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like there was nothing wrong.
Oh, I see. So it in sort of impregnated within the why is stuff like that. Is that right? That there's something wrong with us, or you should be doing something different, or...
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And I'm suffering.
And you're suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So instead, you weren't, because your attention was engaged with the counting, mm-hmm. you weren't listening to, it sort of sounded like the story about the breath and why it was shallow, and you just noticed, huh, that's fascinating, it's a shallow breath. And so it's just, that's an interesting thing that's there, and there's no other judgment or expectation or anything like that attached to it.
Yeah. And, yeah, and it's my normal state, and it's unpleasant. Maybe that's the story too.
The normal state is having shallow breath.
Yeah,
constricted breath.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just it seems to be part of what is being held together. So that's happening with the conversation, which I wasn't involved with this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And with the conversation going on, I can never. It's impossible for me to be in a place of being able to, like, slow the breath or calm myself down. I can't get to a place of being able to do that.
Yeah. So if your attention, this is just another way of saying the same thing, I think. If your attention is engaged in the story, mm-hmm. it's not available to just be in the body. And right. so you cannot, you know, for example, sort of in that story or in that karma that's in that story just by breathing deeply.
Yeah.
You're engaged in story, maybe trying to figure it out or trying to do something about it or those things that we typically do. And so it's what you're practicing, it sounds like, is letting go of that and coming back to sort of like simpler and simpler manifestations of the conditioning that's there. And sort of a simpler and simpler way of releasing that and just being here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's another part of it that I caught as you were talking. Now it's like in how to get from where you are to where you want to be, Sherry talks about the blips. So we turn our attention from conditioning, and then there's the tape stops playing, and then when it comes back in, it's like there was a blip and it seems out of place. So now I have this experience of all of this going on and there being nothing, my being aware that there's actually nothing wrong because mm-hmm. I'm not tied to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now in group it's like this whole group, my breath has been that way, and I haven't been in that place. And at the same time, I have an understanding that, okay, there's not something wrong. I don't need to be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to not do something or to do something or mm-hmm. anything like that. It's a step toward, feels like a step towards freedom.
Definitely. And within that, you also obviously have an understanding of what's going on.
Right.
And so it's kind of like that why you mentioned a minute ago, but it's a completely different why. It's not a why from within the story, mm-hmm. which would be full of the content, you know. But the why in terms of you can just see the process is happening. Like, mm-hmm. there's a story. The result is the constriction in the breath. Mm-hmm. So it's just like you step back one level and just see how the whole thing works. And so you don't have to be engaged in any of the elements of the story, for example, about how this it means something about you. Yes. Instead, you can just be here with the sort of with the actual experience of it. I don't know if you can really say that, but the actual experience of the story without having to be identified in the story, and in that, be in a position to, you know, experiment with, you know, breathing more deeply or letting it go or kind of whatever is available there.
Right. And that, yeah. And I'm not. There's nothing to fight. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like what you're saying. So I can experiment with mm-hmm. that as opposed to somehow being in resistance to the fact that I'm having this experience in my body. So,
yeah.
So it's
If we put it together, what we're talking about a little bit, you know, we have this, let's kind of take it as a theory that where we will go if we're just left completely on our own is right. towards, you know, relaxation and peace and freedom and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're practicing, isn't it? You're not trying to do anything about this, really. You're just allowing it to be, but you're allowing it to be within a container that doesn't need to do anything about this. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like, it's kind of like letting the water, instead of kind of damming up the water or trying to force water in different places, just letting it flow downhill.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like letting your experience and your energy within that experience just kind of flow towards the freedom that it just will go to if it's not impeded.
Yeah. So the breathing slows. The breathing deepens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that doesn't mean anything either, does it? That doesn't mean you're doing anything right or it's being, this is good.
It doesn't make me a good person.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, yeah.
Yeah. It's just more pleasant.
Yes.
Thank you. Melinda.
Well, I'm having kind of a very enjoyable workshop lately, and it's very literally a workshop because I have to take these units to keep a license that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually try and find things to fulfill those units that are in sync with practice in some way. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes not. But this one is called The Psychology of Forgiveness. And I think he's been studying with us and we don't know it. And it's neat because it's, it brings in more reminders, and the way he approaches it is different enough, or he brings in unusual enough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about process, not content. And he would have called it the psychology of kindness if at the time he did his research, kindness had been something people were actually studying. But he could make it the psychology of forgiveness. And one of the things that feels like it very much fits is he talks a lot about, well, we take things too personally. We have to tell ourselves a story to maintain the things we take personally.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how it seems so easy for us to go to complaining about stuff. And one of the examples he used, or he asked the audience, now, how often are you in the express line and you count the items that are in the basket of the person who's in line in front of you? And just that little example has been a really wonderful bringing me back to when I'm kvetching about something, that it's that place of this is a choice.
Yeah, it's the same thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was seeing that and just sort of having it confirmed as we've been having this discussion.
It's a way kind of directing your attention. I don't know how to say this. Directing your attention in a way that's kind of airtight. You know, there's a story that goes along with it, right? And so within that, there's the kvetching about this or that, this or that, or the other thing. So conditioning's got that going, it's got a nice way of kind of keeping us contained and keeping us head and sliding, like Benny was talking about, sliding to these other places.
Yeah, and believing there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that he really talks about a lot, as does Sherry, that we have this extraordinary abundance in our lives. And what do? We turn and get upset because the driver in front of us is going too slowly, or the person in line in front of us has 11 items instead of 10 items. And it feels like that's pretty universal given the reaction of the people in the audience. But it's just such a nice reminder, because it feels like, because we are conditioned, that complaining is the default position.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than turning toward gratitude and kindness and mm-hmm. the things that are there when conditioning isn't allowed to layer in on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So to, you know, since then I've brought more attention to the little things that there might be a little judgment goes through, or a little complaint, or a little, you mm-hmm. know, I don't like this that we're having for lunch. How that supports conditioning and diverts my attention from, wow, look at the things we're having that I really like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a completely different way of approaching life,
yeah.
isn't it? And
yeah.
I'm guessing you would say that in order to see that going on and seeing what it's doing, you have to be in the other place. Like, for example, in a place of kindness or
yeah.
generosity or something.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's kind of like they have the same... So there's like a process going on, let's say a process of complaining, and it's like a whole package.
Mm-hmm.
And we're inside of that, and it seems like everything that we look at from within inside of that is something to complain about.
Yeah.
Same with the kindness. You know, we're doing a process of kindness or gratitude. We're talking more about gratitude just right then. So we're doing like a process of gratitude. From within that, everything we see looks like something that we're grateful for.
Yes.
So it's just a matter
yeah.
of remembering
yeah.
that we can head down one kind of track or the other, and we're kind of
yeah, and
shape.
It's neat, because as you were saying that, I was seeing how much it seems so that when I go to the track of complaining, I get to be the I who's having the unfortunate experience.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the place of gratitude or appreciation or whatever, I am contained in that
mm-hmm.
rather than separate from yeah
yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the bottom line, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's, as Sherry says over and over, the illusion of a separate self.
Yeah.
In the one, there is one,
mm-hmm.
and the other, there isn't.
Yeah, in the something's wrong, there's got to be somebody to be having the something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course it's possible to be happy in conditioning and be a somebody, but it feels like in what we're talking about, it's much less that which I'm trying to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to gratitude or kindness, or
mm-hmm.
or when I am taken there.
Right. Yeah, so I'm not sure if this is what you meant exactly, but there's the possibility, someone was talking about this earlier, of standing beside the person who's complaining about the 11 items in the grocery basket
yeah.
and kind of enjoying that, or just kind
yes.
of like, you know? And
yeah.
it's funny, because that can be going on too. That can be contained in the kindness also.
Yes. Yeah, that's neat.
But there's only one person there, and that's the person who's complaining, not so much. But if there's two, if there's
yeah.
the person who's complaining and the awareness of that, it's funny how even something that, it's like there is no content in a way. It's only process.
Yeah. yeah.
Even something like that, which, you know, we could look at and say, well, that can only lead to suffering. Well, not necessarily. Because if that also is being held in the kindness, then that can be as much a part of the kindness of, or gratitude of life as anything else.
Yeah, it's interesting, because as you're saying that, I'm sort of going through the grocery line
mm-hmm.
and seeing that if I'm caught in the they've got too many items and that's why I'm taking a long time to go, I'm in this express lane because I'm in a hurry, guys.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in that, I'm putting out an energy that is not kind.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm standing beside myself watching that happen, I think that the energy's changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm not, I think that I would be much less likely to be energetically pushing the person in front of me when I'm standing beside the one who's having a problem.
Right. Yeah, and then of course the beauty of that is you can start to see things from the other person's point of view.
Yes.
Like, well, no, this is not six yogurts. This is 1 6-pack.
That's
only one.
Yeah, one bunch of bananas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It counts. The psychology of the express line is
good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sequoia.
Okay. The voice that hates me has a lot to say about this year, but I had this experience in meditation too this morning of becoming aware of a whole other level of sensations, of body sensations that I've never like been able to be apart from or stand away from to realize, oh, those are just sensations.
Oh, okay. You thought before they meant something.
They meant something. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just this big, like, oh my goodness, that's just a set of sensations. Mm. And they're a set of familiar sensations that just generate a story. Mm-hmm. And
well, it sounds like not so familiar as sensations.
Not very familiar story, mm-hmm. but not at all familiar as a set of sensations.
Isn't that interesting? Because you know that it's always been like that, right? It's always been a story with the sensations, but we're so conditioned to be in the story that our attention is not available on that level.
Absolutely. It just was like, oh, it was just like this big aha. And I saw the story that goes with that is, well, in a while, like, and pretty soon I won't be in meditation. I'll be sitting in discussion, and then these sensations will go away. Mm. You know, then I watched how my body changed the position, and then again, another set of sensations arose, and a story arose with those sensations that I hadn't seen as just.
Boy, we're really on something here, aren't we? Yeah, this is good.
And I just saw the same story start to kick in. Mm. Well, pretty soon discussion's going to be over. And then I'll be able to walk around, you know? Uh-huh. And it's like, oh my God.
There it is.
There it is. Mm. And there's nowhere to go from the, you know, it's just this knowing there was nowhere to go except to just be with this person, and it actually became very interesting then to really explore those sensations.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of my very favorite things about practice. I think that's why I love meditation, and one of the reasons why, because that's the place where you can most pay attention on that level. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think that it would be so interesting, but it is. I mean, you can watch the energy moving in the body and the sensations that are kind of bubbling up in response to the energy forever and never get bored with that.
Yeah, it's a way different experience than that, what was thing Aunt Pilo spoke about this morning, that the resistance to it or that, I need to change something external to
Yeah. Well, I kind of think it's because something compassionate, you might say, or helpful is actually happening there. It's not happening in the story at all.
Yeah, no.
There's nothing happening there but just maintaining the karma. Yeah. But bringing it down to the level of, you know, you mentioned the person, and which is another way of talking about that, you know, that person's, the person who lives in that story, that person's physical experience, just paying attention to that, like we were saying before, just the power of just noticing. Just paying attention to that, it starts to free it up. It starts to allow it to move. Not that we're trying to make that happen, but just that's the possibility. We can free that person from the bondage of the world, the living inside the world of that has all that meaning in it, just by attending to her, in your case, and allowing that to go where it will go, instead of always being sort of manipulated and controlled by the story and all the meaning that goes with it.
Yeah, that was absolutely my experience. Just so much kinder, peaceful to just sit still with that and to just observe it than to like, you know, just in this tug of war with conditions.
It's funny to think that's really all we want.
It is.
I mean, I don't know if that's everybody's experience, but it sure is mine. That's all we're really looking for. Is just being allowed to experience what we're experiencing within a compassionate space, without a story, without any of the judgment and self-hate that's out there. Yeah. But just whatever it is, you know, painful or pleasurable, just being allowed to fully experience it, that, and allowing it to move on, and for the next thing to come in, experiencing that, and allowing that to move on, and just on and on and on.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Ah. Yeah. Thank you. Jen.
Really enjoying the discussion this morning, and I've been kind of having fun watching that. There's a constant process of someone who wants to come in to say, that is my experience, that's not my experience, I have that, I don't have that, mm-hmm. I do that, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the kind of the standing next to the person having the experience of the, you know, that person has a
letter. In the grocery store? Uh-huh.
Which is, I love that.
Uh-huh.
It's actually more fun, I think, in the 11 items thing, because when it's someone in me who's really grumpy, it actually can be so much fun, and maybe because there's so much energy in it, but it can just be really like egger on. Like,
yeah.
No, can you leave?
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever got that, I was the cook, it was a long time ago, and that I could, instead of resisting that, I could go with it. So I'm throwing things around in the kitchen and pounding the bread. And, you know.
I wish I'd had it in time to be the cook.
Yeah, it's really useful as a cook. Yeah. But it's fun, isn't it? Because you can just, I think part of what you're saying is you can tap into that energy and just use it for your own pleasure.
It's a little bit of that judo thing with something that's like, ooh, come around to the side. But I was watching it sort of on a subtle level this morning with that. You know, I do that, I don't do that.
Oh, right.
And it's all the, I'm the right person, I'm the wrong person, I'm the right person, I'm the wrong person. And I was just remembering, through a synchronicity, I came across this rap song that was written for kids. And I think it came out as...
That must have been an interesting piece of synchronicity.
It involved travel.
Ah, okay.
It always does. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, I just, when I heard it, it just, oh, it spoke to something in me. And I think it went out as a tweet, and just for the sake of the recording, in case people want it, it's, the name of the group is 23 Skidoo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
S-K-I-D-O-O. And,
I must have missed that tweet. We need a way to play it for the monks.
I know.
Alex is on it.
So, but what actually was funny, because one of the things I told a few people about it, including the people who make Practice Everywhere happen, and I don't know, maybe everyone loved it too, but I didn't project any big reaction from anyone else that I mentioned it to.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually, I ended up enjoying that, because I thought, oh, that's so fun, sort of, that there's so, for some reason there's something about this that mm-hmm. really... speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, I see. Instead of
like the place I usually go, which is like, oh, that was probably dumb. I guess I shouldn't have been moved by that. That kind of thing.
That's
but
neat.
What I saw, the reason I connected up with this morning is that it's, I don't know if this is the name of the song, but the refrain is, I gotta be me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy, the rapper, is so funny. I heard it, and then I looked it up and found he's white, which I couldn't believe. It's a little disappointing, but... But he's going through this, you know, there's all kinds of people in the world kind of thing. He's got kids with him, and so the refrain is, so what you gotta be? And they say, I gotta be me! And it just goes on and on like that. Groups of kids, individual kids, especially for some reason... the individual kids, when they say that, I gotta be me. It's like, oh, it just goes right in.
Yeah, and obviously you're making the connection because that's the experience you had.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, so someone says this, and I think, gosh, that's not my experience. Well, so what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just working with what Jen came here with and what's possible for Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are, by the time it's over, I'll have experienced the entire range of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just, that comparison is just so not helpful. There's there is no comparison.
Yeah, but what that says, you got to be not you.
Right.
You got to be this other thing that's the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big things that drove me to practice is that constantly looking outside of me, comparing myself to everything, and so, oh, I got to be like her. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to be like him. Oh, I got to be like that. I got to be this. And of course, that's insatiable. It's just a constant next thing.
That's a neat word to use right there. Insatiable.
Insatiable.
It really is. It just double up. Well, because I don't know why that was so neat. Other than just it applies like a it's gobbling up your energy or your life or you know it won't ever stop as long as you're providing life force.
Yeah.
It will never stop doing that.
Yeah. it's funny, I just connected up with another process that I was looking at this morning, which is that it's the Sunday phenomenon of like, what am I going to do? And I realized, oh, it's so funny, I'm doing it in group. Mm-hmm. Because everything everyone said was like, oh yeah, that reminds me of this. Oh yeah, that's good. That's related to, so which thing should I talk about? And it's the same, it's that same process of kind of always being one step removed from what's here. Mm-hmm. And it's insatiable in that same way. It's always on the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of those things would be a way to spend one's life.
Yeah, yeah. Easily.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. It's that the evil to-do list thing we start talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a person could spend their life. And you know, it's so to see from the outside, of course, it's absurd.
Yeah.
You can't. You won't ever get it done.
Yeah.
It won't ever happen.
Yeah.
But from inside, boy, it seems so real, and it just gobbles up the energy.
Yeah. Oh, and then it ties back to see, it's working. Everything I thought was coming out. But I love the tracking kind of what my intentions are, and tracking it not from that. Okay, I have to do this, and kind of on the run, energetic feel to it. I so relate to that same exact. I got it at one point that I have a list maker, someone who loves to do that, and so it's the same thing as standing beside the energy and saying, "Great, let her make lists. Let's use that energy."
Mm-hmm.
And so having a place where at the end of the day, checking in with, how did this go, and expecting it to be. I can't think I would say out of balance is the word I'm thinking of, but in
not,
the sense
not
that
not perfect is the, what I was thinking.
Because there's X amount of time in every day, and different days are going to have different priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So on some days, and they're broad categories like fun, work, practices, meditation, and I watch how, the chances are work is going to get a very low score today. That's good.
Because it's Sunday. Yeah, as it should be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if work got a high score today, I'd be nervous. But that's the kind of thing that's just so fun to watch. And all it is just information of like, ooh, look at that. That keeps not getting attention. You know, fun keeps not getting attention. And what it helped me to do is, I got to put some fun on the list or whatever. It just brings my attention to what's going on there. And not like I have to have the best, most amount of fun every day. Some days I'm really just, focused on something else.
Can I ask you about the content of that real quick? Because
sure.
I want to try to ask.
Yeah.
So you're not putting down like individual things.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's good. Because I could see how the individual things, would really turn into a contest pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it's more like kind of where you're spending your attention and your energy.
Where I'm spending my attention and my energy. Because the overarching practice focus for me this year is attention and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So where is my attention going?
Mm-hmm.
Where is my... And time is a huge...
Is a form of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's our time. Thank you.